Welcome to Manowaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm C.B. Dorogi. This week, Spirit World by Carter V. Rowe. Benson slowed the rover in the barren street, a thick, fog-like atmosphere wisping around them. Ametria tapped her gloved hand on the buzzing detector. 10 small bulbs lined the top, the first holding a steady light while the second blinked intermittently.
Extremely low reading. It could just be dense miasma or a more powerful spirit further away,
she said, muffled by the ventilator in her suit. She watched, pending judgment, as he looked the device over. He did his best to make sense of various ticking ometers.
We won't know until we check it out. Following the streets could lose the signal. When the spirit box detects something, it's best to investigate on foot in metropolitan and suburban areas, he replied, glancing at her for confirmation.
Good answer, Rook, straight from the handbook. Get the spirit box out of the dash.
She dumped out of the rover and walked around to the back where a small tent flap held an armory. She disappeared inside and emerged with two white flamethrowing devices, one of which she handed to Benson. He circled the area, box in hand, finding the signal steadiest at a house nearby. It was a classic suburban two-story, complete with partially dismantled white picket fence, and silhouettes of pines stood behind it. They moved closer with measured steps, and Benson pointed to the roof.
The ceiling has rotted away,
Emerita confirmed.
Decay on the upper level, but not the lower. A common sign of spirit exposure.
She nodded, and Benson entered through the ajar front door. They moved through a house full of earthly possessions to the second floor, then up attic stairs with rungs of creeping rot. The final level was a skeletal frame of its former self, miasma from outside flowing endlessly through. But in the center of the space, a porcelain doll sat in dusty frills.
My bonnie lies over the ocean,
came a young, quivering voice.
My bonnie lies over the sea.
Your show, rookie.
Well, speech is present even at lower grade possessions, and it's singing the same thing, which means it's limited to repetition. The rot is at critical level, but the readout is still registering as two bulbs, only slightly above the miasma at close proximity. That means it's due to prolonged exposure. It's showing first-grade possession, categorizing spirit as non-malevolent.
If you say so, do we take it back to the research department?
Nah, it's like you said in the rover, extremely low reading, designating it for incineration.
It's probably the remnant of a child,
she prodded. Benson observed it, breathing heavier, but didn't reply.
Incineration, then.
He handed the spirit box to Emerita and slung the weapon into his hands. With one click, an oval flame held steady at the end. Emerita, having seen enough, reached over and lowered it.
So, what'd you do wrong?
Benson looked at her, looked at the gun, then at the doll, and finally back at her. She sighed, and the suit twitched as she shook her head inside. She pointed at the blackened floor.
We're standing on highly flammable, already unstable boards. Is this the break our legs and burn to death squad?
Benson was taken aback by the tonal shift, until he realized this was his first mistake. It made the admonishment feel all the worse.
No, I'll go get a container.
Benson made his way down and back to the rover. He disappeared inside the tent, and he lingered a moment longer than necessary. He retrieved a glass jar fronted by a digital interface and returned. Twisting off the top, he placed it beside the doll.
Sorry,
he said, back to her, and waited for her to say something. When she didn't, he gently placed the doll inside.
My bonnie lies over the ocean. Bring back my bonnie to...
He sealed the voice away, and then initiated the first sequence, filling the tank with gas. The doll's eyes grew dewy. He initiated the second, and the gas became flames. It took 5 minutes for the doll to convert to vapor. Then he unscrewed the top, returning it to the all-encompassing miasma.
Host destroyed. Is this...
He couldn't finish the thought.
Melancholy, You never know what they'll produce. Truth is, all the information in Journeyer's Spirit World Almanac, and we still don't know a thing for sure. Except that somewhere out there, a vessel is waiting for all of us.
Emerita turned to him.
You get a pass for the day, but don't let me catch you.
She stopped, as if the words evaporated. The third light bulb on the spirit box flickered before holding steady. Then the fourth. Fifth. Emerita turned with it in her hands, but the reading was the same in every direction. Benson was still, wide-eyed in shocked confusion like a deer in headlights. Sixth. Seventh. A shadow crept over the open space from the tree side. They turned. Something titanic moved through the woods, twisting the miasma around it through sheer presence. It groaned and the walls shook. Eighth. Ninth. It gravitated closer. Trees wilted away from it, and their bases snapped as life was repelled by the black rot that radiated out in small waves, petrifying everything for a few feet around it. It even superseded the previous presence in the attic as the finger of a hand slowly moved into the space and blocked them from the exit. Emerita pushed Benson against the wall. There was no attempt at words from either as dark lashing waves grazed the suit's front plates and stained it with decaying force. The finger was thin but animate, like that of a waving billboard, cell-shaded with the outline of a fingernail worn away by the energy that circled it. The detached hand was held steady by similar means. Benson thought to move for his weapon, but Emerita had him pinned with one arm. Tenth bulb, glass, shattering. The spirit of the doll was stripped from the miasma and swirled up the cartoonish finger. Then the hand withdrew. Some invisible joint creaked like a marooned whaler as spirit fought with inanimation. The vortex shifted away.
Was that a damn amalgamate?
Benson gasped as he was physically and spiritually released.
It can't be. The largest on record was 13 feet, and it collapsed in on itself before it could get any bigger. They're vacuums of hunger with a high level of malevolence. But it didn't care a lick about us.
They moved into the attic opening and stood between the boards. It was like looking through a moving picture frame. The entity, at least 3 stories tall, grew unrecognizable as it lumbered away. Even through the density, it was visible some 50 yards away, with how the general flow of miasma altered direction towards it. Benson faced her.
Better update the record, then,
he said.
Do we chase it?
There's no way you're ready to take on something like that.
Benson knew she was right. However, it didn't stop the disappointment. Emerita turned to him.
But we should get close enough to take a clear picture. What? Research will need one. And with something like that moving across the city, every squad with a spirit box is going to home in on it. So we're going to have to sidetrack until we link up with someone. Get to the rover, Rook.
This has been Spirit World by Carter V. Rowe. Thanks for tuning in to Manawaker Studios' Flash Fiction Podcast. Have an audiobook or documentary that needs the perfect voice? I'd love to help bring your project to life. Just follow the tap link in the show notes to connect with me. And let's make something amazing together.